Welcome to the Savvy Dentist Podcast with Dr. Jesse Green, the show where great dentistry meets great business. Listen in each week as we bring you an inspiring person who will share their story, ideas, and business techniques to help you create a practice and a life you love. And now introducing your host, Dr. Jesse Green.
Hello everyone, it's Jesse Green here. Welcome back to SavvyDentist.com and to the Savvy Dentist Podcast. Great to have you company for another episode of the show. And I want to say welcome to 2024. It's good to be back. It's good to have you on deck as well. Now, this year, I've been thinking a lot about progress, and I spoke to lots of people in 2023, towards the end of 2023, who'd had a good year, right? Good year, but not amazing year. And I'm not talking about people necessarily in our coaching program, but just generally across the whole industry. And I felt that a lot of people before Christmas were tired, they were worn out, they were burned out, they were stressed out. And for all that effort, for all that energy they'd spent, they had a good year, but not a great year. So what I want to talk about in this episode of the show is how to have a great year. How do we go from being good to great, as Jim Collins would say? How do we do that in our practice? How do we go from making incremental slow progress to quantum leap, exponential growth in terms of, you know, progress? And that's really what I want to talk about. And there's a few key things that I've noticed that people who've had exponential growth and experience that on a pretty regular basis, the things that they do that make a difference. I'm going to share those things with you today. Now, I'm going to go through these in a bit more detail, but just really quickly, the first thing is people that experience rapid growth, people that experience exponential growth or quantum leaps, spend their time, attention, and money on things that actually move the needle. They don't have wasted effort. Everything has a return on effort. And that's really key and important, because one of the key results or key outcomes or key responsibilities for business owners is to make sure we are allocating our resources wisely and appropriately. So that's the first key thing. Now, the second key thing I noticed about people who achieved exponential growth is they had a mindset that was conducive to that. Now, whether you're looking to achieve leaps in financial outcomes or freeing up time or enjoying the journey a bit more, because ultimately we want to have a practice and a life that we love, it's about having the mindset of the right person that we need to be to achieve those things. So you've all heard me talk about the be, do, have model. So it's that be part. Who do we need to be so we can do the things we need to do in order to have the things we want to have? So what's the mindset around that? And the third thing was really, really important to understand is there are some people that achieve outsized results compared to the rest. Why do those people achieve abnormal and atypical results? And is there a secret to that? Well, there's some lessons, but they're not such a secret. But the thing about this is they're simple to do, but they're just as simple not to do. And what I've noticed is people are looking for a hack or something that, you know, there's got to be a magic pill in here somewhere. But really, there's a few key things that the people that achieve outsized results do week in, week out, month in, month out, year in, year out, that allow them to really make tremendous progress. So we're going to unpack that as well. But let's talk about the first of those things. You know, what do we put our attention in? Where do we allocate our resources? What do we put our time, effort, resources into that are going to move the needle in our practice? And I want to talk to you about a thing called the plan. So the plan is a document I've created for our clients, and it's a one-pager, and it really is designed as a bit of a guide as to, you know, make sure you're focusing on the right things at the right time, because doing the right thing at the wrong time is still the wrong thing. Now, that's a tongue twister, let me tell you right there. But anyway, this document, the plan, I really want to talk about this. If you're looking to have greater financial success, there's some systems to put in place. If you're looking to create more time through leverage, there's some levers you want to pull. And then ultimately, when you put that together, it's about creating a life that you really love. So let's talk about the financial systems, because I know a lot of people want to make leaps and bounds and progress in terms of their financial outcomes. So when it comes to achieving financial outcomes, the people that have made quantum leaps have three really, really important financial systems in place. The first one is a revenue generation system. And a revenue generation system is one that allows you to reliably produce revenue at will, on demand, month in, month out. And you want to be able to predict that month in, month out. And that's called continuity income. And one of my friends has a saying that if you don't have continuity income, you don't have a business, you have a series of promotions. Now, I know that there are some people that say, well, you know, Jesse, I can get new patients anytime I like, but that can change. And we've seen economic circumstances change. What we want to do is to have recurring income, continuity income. So we want to build a system that generates revenue on demand. And that's really, really important. So if you have that system in place, you'll be able to go, well, in January, I'm going to earn X. In February, I'm going to earn Y. And in December or whenever it is, I'm going to earn whatever it is at the end of the year, right? And so all the way through those 12 months, you want to be able to reliably predict what your income is going to be. And you need to be able to reverse engineer that system so that you have confidence that you're going to make that. Now, of course, when it comes to revenue and you've got that system in place, you've then got a couple of levers that you can pull when it comes to increasing revenue. You know, see more patients, see them more frequently, increase the average dollar spend, et cetera, et cetera. And that means we've got to learn how to manage and maximize cash flow. So when it comes to cash flow, we're looking at the profit and loss statement as well as the balance sheet. And we want to make sure that we are utilizing all the cash flow levers that we can, because the thing about revenue versus cash flow is revenue is a headline number. And a lot of people talk about that. We all know the saying that revenue is vanity, profit is center, cash is king. But cash flow and cash is really important because it's the oxygen that keeps the business alive. And you need that cash to be able to stay afloat. And it doesn't matter what the revenue is, if you are spending more than you're earning, you're out of business very, very quickly. So cash flow management, cash flow maximization is really, really key. So once you've generated your cash flow, it's then about making sure you use it wisely, okay? So, you know, many of you would have heard, you know, a lot about profit first, and, you know, Mike McCallowis has been on our podcast. He's a tremendously nice guy, a smart guy as well. But Mike would be the first to tell you he did not invent the profit first system. It's been around for donkey's years and he just popularized it. But you want to make sure that, A, you're putting money aside for a rainy day, so you've got some safety and protection there. And amongst other things, you want to make sure you're putting money aside for wealth creation outside the dental practice, and so that you can invest some of that surplus cash flow into assets that then produce further cash flow. So you're not reliant upon your practice income forever. And so what this really means is you want to have what we call a prosperity plan. And that what that really means is you want to be clear about your investing and investment and wealth creation goals. So let me just give you an example to kind of bring this to life for you, right? This is the third of the financial systems, the wealth creation system. What you want to be able to do is go, well, you know, I want to have an investment income. Sometimes that's called passive income, but it's not always passive, but let's use that word because it's common. If I want to have a passive income of, say, $100,000, right? And if I assume that my capital is going to produce a return of 5%, then I'm going to need $2 million at 5% to produce my $100,000. Well, then I've got to figure, well, how much of that investment income or investment capital, I should say, do I have now? Of that $2 million, where am I up to? And maybe I'm at zero, right? And of course, investment income does not include your house. It does not include your car. It does not include that stuff. Like, this is money that you have invested. And so you might go, well, I've got nothing, or I've got something or whatever it is, and I want to have this $100,000 a year by such and such a date. So what we then need to do is to figure, well, how much do I need to invest per week, per month, per whatever time frame, over a period of time, so that I can achieve that $2 million investment nest egg to produce my $100,000 of income by a given time frame. And whatever that monthly amount is, we then feed back into our revenue generation system so that we know that the business needs to produce that. That's really, really key. We've got to make sure that we produce that revenue by design, not by default. That revenue that then flows through cash flow and into wealth creation activities is created deliberately, specifically, and intentionally every single time. All right, so if we're going to create financial success for you and your practice, if you want to have these quantum leaps, we're going to make sure we are being consistent in what we do. So revenue generation, cash flow maximization and management, and then wealth creation systems around that. When we get that right, our financial life is taken care of, right? And our financial life is important because once we have our own financial needs taken care of, we're in a position to be able to help and support others should we choose to as well, right? We can make a difference in our lives as well as the lives of other people, right? Maybe it's family, maybe it's friends, maybe it's the community at large. Whatever those causes are that are near and dear to your heart, then you can support them with financial means if that's what you want to do. Now, if we think about that, though, our financial life is only one element of our life. Yes, it's important, but we are multifaceted, multidimensional people, and we've got other elements of our life that include our family, our friends, our hobbies, our spiritual life. It could be around learning and development or whatever it happens to be, right? There's other elements of our life that are important. And while money may influence some of those things, the thing that influences those other elements of our life is really having time. It's, you know, having time to spend with our family and our friends, having time to pursue our spiritual life or time to pursue growth and learning and whatever else we want to do, right? So we've got to have a system that we create time by. So we call that the practice owner's time system. But really, just to simplify things, time is created by working through other people. In other words, leverage, right? We want to create leverage in the business. And so I want to talk to you about six key levers in the business that you might want to be familiar with so you can pull these to create more time for yourself using some time system of your own. And when you get this right, as I said, you'll have time for all those other elements of your life. So here they are. The first lever that we want to be really mindful of is capacity planning, capacity management. So we need to know what our scalable unit is. We need to know when to bring on that next chair, when to bring on the next clinician, how many support staff do we need to bring on, what's the impact of that on the reception, do we need to bring on a new receptionist or a part-time receptionist, whatever that needs to be. So we've got to be able to plan for capacity, and we've got to know the triggers that allow us to make the go decision to, you know, hire, add a chair, whatever it happens to be, right? We've got to have a capacity plan in place. The second big lever we need to be able to pull is around leadership. And we all know that, you know, leadership is not so much a positional thing, but one of how do we inspire and involve and emotionally engage our team to buy into the vision of the practice. Now, there's really three different levels of leadership. The first one I think is the most important. That is, how do we show up ourselves? How do we lead ourselves on a day-to-day basis? You know, are we, you know, living above the line, as we say, where we're taking ownership, accountability, and responsibility, or are we falling below the line where we're kind of falling into blame, excuse, denial? So leading ourselves is really critical because it sets the example for the team, right? And the second layer of leadership is what we traditionally call leadership, which is, how do we lead the team? How do we lead others? How do we inspire them and have them buy into our vision and have them willingly participate in what we want to do? And the third level of leadership is really critical as well, particularly if you want to create a business that gives you time freedom. And that is, you've got to be able to develop other leaders so that they can lead others on your behalf. And that allows you to then be one layer back from the coal face, right? If you want to step back from the immediate day-to-day activities, you've got to build leadership teams, and your leadership teams then lead others. And so how do we develop that tertiary level of leadership is going to be really key. Now, closely related, but not to be confused with leadership, is management. And so what we want to be sure of is that we're doing the right things the right way. We're measuring our progress. We've got all the things happening according to, you know, the way it should be done. So how do we manage our team? How do we manage our processes? How do we do all that sort of stuff? It's really, really key. Now, typically, you'll have your team members help and support you in this role, particularly if you've got a practice manager or a leadership team. They'll be taking some of that load off you. But again, we want to make sure that we are managing our resources, managing our team, the assets of the business really, really well. The fourth big lever is really about team development. And if we want to be able to work through other people, which I would say is going to be key if you want to create time, we need to be able to, you know, routinely train and develop people so they can become the best version of themselves. So we talk about in Practice Max this concept of becoming a training institution. How do we take someone from being a rookie to a pro? How do we develop them as a human being? How do we develop them for their specific role? How do we help them become the best version of themselves? So we want to always see ourselves as a training institution, whether that be our clinical team, our support team, and everything else in between. We want to make sure we are really, really adept at developing and building people. Now, of course, if we're going to have reliable and consistent outcomes on a day-to-day basis, we want our team to be able to use standard operating procedures or systems, because we know that from time to time people will move on. But if we have the how we do things kind of manual, then those systems and processes and protocols are really valuable because it allows our team to reliably produce results consistently. It means our patients get the best of us whether we're having a good day or a bad day. It means that our patients can reliably and predictably refer their family and friends to us, knowing that their family and friends are going to get the same experience that they got. So systems are really, really key. And the sixth big lever is around reporting. How do we have the data come to us? So particularly if we're one layer back, we want to make sure we're getting reports. You know, one of our clients was in the Greek Islands and he was getting his reports on his laptop. And by looking at the reports, he could see what was working well in the practice, but he also got a couple of, you know, I guess, orange flags, not quite red flags, some things that could go out of balance, you know, if we weren't paying attention to them. And he was able to get that back on track really quickly because he was getting good reports. He was able to read the dashboards of the business and use that to make intelligent business decisions to keep things moving the way he wanted to, which is towards his goal. So again, really key and important outcome. So if we're going to have our resources allocated, we want to allocate them in a couple of key areas. One is those three financial systems: the revenue generation, the cash flow management and maximization system, then of course the wealth creation system. And then if we're trying to create time, we're going to spend time managing and executing those 6 points of leverage in the practice. And when we get those things right, not only are we going to have our financial lives taken care of, but because we've created time, we now get to look at all the other elements of our life, which means we've got a nice balanced life, we've got enjoyment, we've got satisfaction, and ultimately you've got a business that you love, but most importantly, a life that you love. So again, the first thing I wanted to talk about is how do we allocate our resources, where do we allocate them to, so that we get a return on effort, a return on energy. Because as I said, there is nothing worse than working hard and feeling like you're spinning your wheels. And if you go through the things I've just shared with you, you'll do the work, and we'll talk about that in a minute, but you'll get traction and you'll get results, and you'll get to the end of 2024 having made a quantum leap in your income, having made a quantum leap in your time, and so on and so forth. That's going to be key. So that was the first thing I wanted to share with you. Now, the second thing I wanted to talk to you about was about who do we need to be as a business owner? Who do we need to grow into? And one of the things I'm really fond of talking about is this concept of be, do, have. You've probably heard me talk about that on the podcast before, because we know that before there's a business outcome or business growth, there's personal growth that precedes it. And that inner work is really, really important. Who do we need to become to do the things we need to do in order to have the things we want to have? Most people want to get to the have part without the be part, okay? They're happy to do the do part, but they're self-sabotaging when there's a disconnect between their identity that they currently reside in and the things that are required of them to achieve their goals and ambitions. There's this identity disconnect. And what we know is if we're going to make progress of any nature, we need to upgrade our identity towards our goals at any given time. And so one of the sayings I'm very fond of, which does sound a little bit macabre, I'm not going to lie, it does sound a little bit kind of dark, is that all progress begins with the death of an identity. So if you want to have a self-employment situation in your practice where you're sitting at your chair, you know, 9 to 5, 5 days a week, you're drilling, filling and billing, and you can make a decent income, but the challenge is you're not going to create freedom in any way, shape or form or any real meaningful way, then the point being is that your identity of being a dentist probably serves you in that point. But if you want to keep the identity of being a dentist as someone who's the best clinician in the practice, and you know, you get really jazzed up and G'd up when someone says, I only want to see Jesse for my dentistry, then that's going to be hard to build a scaled practice with that identity. Because when you want to create scale in your practice, you want to create leverage, you want to create freedom of time, freedom of money, you've got to be able to work through others. And that means our job shifts to being the person that builds other people. And so our identity needs to shift as well. And how we see ourselves needs to shift. So rather than seeing ourselves as the consummate clinician, though we might still strive to do great clinical work, we need to wear the identity and become comfortable with the identity of, hey, it's great if the patient wants to see our associate. It's fantastic if they love the associate a bit more than me. That's great, because my job now is to build tremendous associates. My job is to grow them to be the best that they can be, to have the training and the resources in place, to have the right culture in place, to provide the right support structures so that our patients can get the best possible outcomes by working with our associates. And what that means for us as the practice owner is we need to go on a journey of personal growth and development, which involves shifting identity. It means taking on the traits and the personas of a business owner. I see so many people struggle with this. They say, I really want to have a scaled business, but I'm still trying to be on the tools all the time. And it's a real disconnect. And And this came up in a conversation the other day. It was a lovely person I was talking to. She was saying to me that, you know, Jesse, I want to be able to take more time away from the practice. I want to cut my working days down because I've got young kids and I want to spend more time at home. And I totally get it. You know, kids are only young for a little while. We want to be with them. We want to enjoy them. We want to spend time watching them grow and develop into the people that they become. But as much as that made sense, she then followed up by saying, well, I don't really want to spend time training my associates. They're only billing a very low amount, which means that for the practice to do well, you know, I'm going to make sure I become, you know, really good at billing. I'm going to work 5 days a week. I'm going to go and study some continuing further education in one of the high-tech fields. And that way I'm going to become the person who is responsible for most of the billing. And as much as I say that out loud, and you can probably hear the disconnect in that, that disconnect was not immediately apparent to her. And I had to gently say to her, can I interrupt you for a second? Because I just want to ask you about these goals, because I'd felt that there was some conflict in those goals. And her identity was still very much about, I'm the dentist, I'm the primary producer, I'm the main person that practices going to be the grand poobah of dentistry and so on and so forth. And we want to make sure that we've got that right in that particular practice. But it didn't serve her for the long-term vision of her goals. By doing what she was doing, it wasn't going to help her free up time. It wasn't going to give more time with the family or more time with the kids. And so she had these conflicting goals. And that's because her identity was still very much about being that head honcho dentist, being the greatest clinician, as I said, the one that everyone relies on, everyone wants to see, rather than seeing the associate. And I think there was some significance, as Tony Robbins would say, around being that person. And what I was saying to her is, it's going to be hard for you to achieve your business outcomes unless you shift that identity. So who do we need to be first is going to be the key thing. I'd say to you, the inner work of that is super important, really, really important. You've got to understand who you need to be to support your goals. And some people just aren't willing to give up that identity, and that's okay. There's nothing wrong with that. But the trade-off then is you're going to struggle to build the business that you say you want to build, right? So let's be clear and fair about that. So again, if we want to have exponential growth in 2024 and we're going to make quantum leaps in progress, we need to make sure that we are doing that inner work now at the beginning of the year so that we can continue to grow the business. Because as I said, the growth of the business will never outstrip the growth of the individual or the practice owner who owns it. So very, very important. Okay. So the third key thing I want to talk to you about is something I think that's really interesting. And you know, we've been working with practice owners for a lot of years now. We've worked with literally hundreds, and I've always been fascinated by why some people just achieve so much compared to others. You know, why is it they do so well when others achieve, you know, more average amounts or even modest amounts? I was recently talking to one of our clients, Vandana Budwa, who has experienced exponential growth, and she shared some thoughts about why some people make tremendous leaps and bounds in their results compared to others. You know, they achieve outsized results compared to those that achieve, you know, more modest amounts. And she made a couple of key points, and I thought it'd be worth repeating them here. And the first one is that success is based upon building blocks. And it's really important you have these building blocks in place and you don't skip a step, right? So having those building blocks laid down, not skipping steps, not shortcutting the process, not trying to find a hack or a way through, but doing the right things, getting the fundamentals in place is really key. So that was the first observation that she made, is successful people don't skip steps and they have those building blocks in place. The second key observation that she made was that successful people in any endeavor are able to do the work consistently. So here's the key word, is consistently. And the second key phrase is over an extended period of time. So what that means is they're able to consistently execute the plan, do the right things day in, day out, week in, week out, month in, month out, year in, year out for years to achieve results. Now, what's really interesting around this is I was actually doing a bit of scrolling on Instagram recently, and I saw a picture of a person in the fitness world, and they showed a before and after. Now, the before was from 14 years prior, and the after was today. And the difference was obviously remarkable. But the thing that this particular person was saying was, 14 years ago when I started my fitness journey, I was saying to myself, you know, when do I get the six pack? When do I get the abs that, you know, ripple in the sun? When do I start to lose weight? When do I get to be skinny? When do I get to have the results, right? And what this person was saying is, if I could go back and talk to my younger self, I'd say, just do the work consistently over time and the results will come. And now this person just celebrates the routine and the results. And I think there's something in that. As Vandana said, you've got to be able to do that work consistently and for an extended period of time. Nothing of substance is built quickly or overnight. There is a process, and you can't always see the results of what you're doing, but the results do come if you consistently execute and do the right things time in, time out for a period of time. So again, you've got to be able to do the work over time consistently. And the third thing that she remarked upon was the ability to receive feedback. Now, a lot of people will take feedback as criticism, and when that happens, you're kind of robbing yourself of that growth opportunity. A lot of people, when they get feedback, will slip into blaming other people, making excuses, even kind of getting into denial. And what can happen in some instances, they just quit. They quit on their dreams. They quit on their goals. They get so riled up or frankly, they just get pissed off and they kind of have a bit of a dummy spit and go. The reality is feedback is a gift. It's an opportunity for us to course correct. And if we're going to take feedback, we need to see it as a gift so that we can ultimately be accountable and responsible for the results that we achieve and take ownership of the whole situation, right? And so we've got to be above that line of responsibility. We've got to make sure we're kind of living life as a victor rather than a victim. And so feedback is a gift. So when it comes to achieving outsized results compared to the average or compared to most, those three key factors are really key. So if you want to achieve exponential growth this year, then you're going to need to understand that there are building blocks and there are no shortcuts. You're going to need to understand that doing the work may not be sexy, but it is absolutely necessary to achieve outcomes. And doing the work consistently and over time is key. And then the third thing is to be able to react to feedback in a really positive, constructive way rather than, feeling defensive about it as well. So if we're going to have exponential growth in 2024, we've got to get these things right. So what I wanted to share with you is on January the 16th, I'm running a training about making 2024 your exponential growth year, right? How we're going to really launch 2024 for you. And what I want to share with you is a couple of things with you on that particular training. We're going to talk about, where to put your time, attention, and effort. What are the key things to focus on? We're going to unpack those things in a bit more detail. We're going to talk about the identity shift and how to shift identity. And we're going to talk to you about those building blocks and what not to shortcut. I'm going to show you those building blocks so you can see what they are. And once you're aware of what they are, you can set to work going about building those pieces of the business that may be not yet built, or at least tidying up the things that need to be tied up so you've got that in place. So that training is on the 16th of January. I'd really encourage you to come along. So if you want to make a quantum leap in 2024, if you want to go from just kind of having average, good, linear, incremental results to really kind of putting your practice growth into turbocharge and making that exponential leap, then come along to this training, because I know that without it, you're basically going to be committing yourself to incremental growth. And while that's okay, there's so much more that's available to you. There's nothing wrong with incremental growth in and of itself. It's just that I see so much untapped potential. I see businesses that could be doing so much better, so much more, if only the practice owner was aware of what it took to be able to do that. And they then took action upon those things. So come and join us on January the 16th. I'll put the link in the show notes and we'll take you through how to make 2024 a year of exponential growth for you. So I hope you've enjoyed this podcast today. I hope it's useful. I hope you've got some practical things there to focus on. And I look forward to seeing you in January the 16th. Have a great week, and I look forward to seeing you really soon.
Thank you for listening to the Savvy Dentist podcast. For more episodes, go to drjessegreen.com/savvydentist. And to discover how to build a high-performance dental practice, visit drjessegreen.com and download the free report.